Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored today because I have James Yates with me, and James is a high performance coach, speaker, and conscious entrepreneur. He specializes in both human optimization and conscious entrepreneurship and has worked extensively with a wide range of individuals and corporations to improve and amplify both their personal and professional performance. He believes that to achieve our greatest potential in life requires a multifaceted approach, with strong investment in our energy, well-being, relationships, and purpose as the foundation to lead from. Calling on a wide range of practical tools, techniques, and biohacks that he developed and utilized for over 18 years in his career. He has this high-impact events, programs, products, and retreats, all built on real-life experiences that he has tried and tested personally with great effect. With this experience, he developed a company which represents his life mission, Reunite Enterprises. Reunite brings to market an exclusive peak performance-based ecosystem that creates a unique program, product, and experience to support the evolution of consciousness and the expansion of human potential. He's spoken at hundreds of events across Africa, Europe, the Middle East, Asia Pacific, and the United States, received praise for a variety of professional accomplishments, including being recognized as one of the world's top three home business trainers, as well as being able to celebrate the number one sales recruiter for two-time large multinational companies. He's extremely passionate about helping as many people as possible live their calling and do what they love. He's based in Australia with his family. He travels regularly to run Unite's events and retreats in locations all over the world. Thank you so much for being here today, James.
Oh, Caroline, it's such a pleasure. And I just absolutely love everything you stand for. So it's an honor to be here.
Likewise. And I really want to dive into your journey because you have such an extensive amount of experience, but really how you are helping the world one person at a time, but also the masses. So I'd love for you to just kind of dive in a little bit and then we can go a little bit deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess I'd love to go back to the start because I remember when I was, you know, sort of early teens, I used to just be fascinated by how some people would push boundaries and thrive, right? But some others were just happy to survive. And I always found that really fascinating to look at the difference between, like, what does it actually take to get somewhere in life, right? And so my obsession with human potential began there. And then what happened over my later teens is I got involved in a couple of different things that at the time I didn't realize they were really that connected. But now I reflect and I think, wow, I'm so pleased I experienced both. So the first thing was that I got involved in the well-being side of things. So I became a performance coach. I was training everyone from everyday people to elite athletes, helping them to optimize their well-being and their performance. And so, you know, the difference between someone coming, you know, first or 10th in the world can be, you know, a matter of only hundreds of seconds, right? And so it's really fascinating to look at what it takes from a mindset perspective in that regard to get to that next level. At the same time, I found myself very early on getting into the world of business. So I've almost had like a day career and a night career, right? The day career was like, right, I'm just going to go and do something that allows me to be able to be in control of my destiny. So that's where the well-being side came in. But of an evening, I was like, man, there's got to be more to life than just slogging and trading time for money, right? So I got involved in different types of businesses and the entrepreneurial world. And to be honest, I mean, I failed miserably for my first 5 years in any form of business. I remember I used to say I went from failure to failure with great enthusiasm, right? I was one of those guys that was like, you know, the big dreamer. I'm just going after the biggest of goals, but I would literally have nothing to show for it. And I guess throughout that career, I realized initially in those first 5 years that, you know, the reason I was still having so much fun, even though I wasn't getting the result, is I was doing it for the right reasons. I was connected with this purpose piece. you know, which was to be able to be one day be free and one day have a family that I could spend multiple amounts of hours with every single day. And so that was really the driver for me. So it didn't really worry me how long it took. It was just a matter of investing my energy into that, right?
Yeah.
And so that was the beginning of my career, right? And so ultimately over time, what happened was I became, I guess, much more aware of my own energy and my own time investment. You know, we often say our investment of time is the most important asset. And at the time, I guess I was starting to learn that, but I realized later on, it wasn't actually time, it was presence, right? You can be in the room, but you may not be in the room, right? And so I think I evolved using that foundation to discover all these new little principles that would ultimately help a lot more people. The big part of my career or the crossroads was that as an entrepreneur, I was hustling, you know, building business for the money. And so for many years, I was literally just going after whatever I could in order to be able to become successful. Right. But I did it at the jeopardy of the things that were most important. In 2011, I found myself in the UK. We were living there at the time, burnt out, exhausted. My well-being was absolutely at rock bottom. Even though I had this amazing background in health and fitness and well-being, what had happened was I'd burnt myself out. And I realized that a lot of people in life, they go after one particular goal at the jeopardy of everything else, their relationships, their health, their sanity. And at that moment, I remember reflecting and saying, man, it can only get better from here. It cannot get any worse than this, because I was not only exhausted, but when you're in a bad space personally, that reflects on everything else. You know, so I started making poor business decisions, started making poor investment decisions. I found myself in a lot of debt because of just being in a space in time where things weren't working out. And the reason I share that with you is because we can all talk about these amazing stories and where we come from and all of these great things. And it all sounds good at the front of the room. But the reality was, for me, the line in the sand moment in my entire career was the moment I was struggling at the absolute lowest point from an energy standpoint, from a health standpoint. And it was the lessons that I learned from that I now teach today. Mm-hmm. I teach people that the reality is that you can have it all. You can have a good relationship. You can have good well-being. You can have money in the bank all at the same time. But we've got to understand the principle of taking a multidimensional approach, as in we need to invest in all of these things rather than doing something at the jeopardy of everything else, which is the way we've been programmed in the industrial world. It's like hustle till you die mentality. And even on social media, we see it so much. That was the line in the sand moment. And we can talk about, obviously, today, you know, what those discoveries and tools were from there.
I so appreciate you just sharing all of that. And I love that, like, from such a young age, you had this curiosity of like the human mind and body and just wellness overall and how that really transformed as you got older. And I love that you shared a little bit about just the first 5 years of business, how it wasn't really going the way you wanted it to and you were burning yourself out. And I know a lot of people listening to have probably hit burnout at least once, maybe more than that. I know I was in a cycle of burnout for years and I was living this like healthy life. However, internally, I was not healthy. And I love that you really target that. And I want to get into that in a little bit, but I love that you really were able to identify the line in the sand and understand, okay, like enough is enough. And just really like when you were living in the UK, things were not going how you wanted them to, but really transforming that. So when you were working full-time, building your business on the side, doing all these factors of life to try to stay healthy and being in the health industry on top of that, what was maybe some of that like moment, that pinpoint moment, if you have one, or a pivotal moment where you're like, enough is enough, something needs to change? And what was that change for you?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think it's a really important question. I think ultimately where I was at was in reflection where a lot of people are at. And you mentioned you've had that as well. And I think we've ultimately been conditioned has been, you know, if we're not hustling at our job or our business or a career, whatever it is that we're doing of a day, we're also then required to hustle in everything else. So, you know, I was the avid gym goer, right? Like it was literally so... And you start to think about this from an adrenal perspective. If you're absolutely pushing out energy all the time, and then you go and then push out energy with your fitness and with everything else you're doing, when are you actually taking a break? And you can see why people get to burnout. I often think We're either accumulating or we're eliminating. And in this current world, we're just accumulating so much. We're accumulating stress. We're accumulating the hustle. We're accumulating time so much that it gets to a point where something's got to give. And for me, the line in the sand moment became, I can no longer function living a lie to myself, right? And that's what it is. I often say awareness is key to transformational change.
Yeah.
And I actually use a 5-step model when it comes to, you know, talking about how do we navigate change. And I built that 5-step model based on my own experience. And I call them the 5 A's. So the first piece is, the first A is awareness, right? So you can't change something if you're not aware of something, right? Pretty straightforward.
Yes.
But often we're not aware of it. We're oblivious to it until something stares at us in the face. And that for me was that time. The second thing is acknowledgement, or the second A. The acknowledgement that maybe what we were doing up until that point actually did serve us. Because a lot of people have guilt, right? A lot of people look back and go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. But the reality was you got to this point based on a certain amount of decisions and factors that you functioned under, right? So there's an acknowledgement that helped you. But at the same time, there's an acknowledgement that it may not be serving you anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, where the line in the sand starts to happen. The third A is acceptance. Now, we all know that smoking may not be good for us, right? I'm just going to use this as an example, right? Or drinking way too much, or something that we can all picture, right? So we know that it's not great for us, and we acknowledge that it probably isn't serving us. But how many of us truly accept that we have to change now? And the reality is that a lot of people are at crossroads at the acceptance stage because we're just literally turning a blind eye. Another week of it, another month of it, I'll start again on Monday, right? That's the concept that we often see. Yeah. So after we've done our awareness exercise in terms of becoming aware of what we need to change or something that may serve us or may not serve us, and we acknowledge that it's either got us to this point or it's not serving us anymore, the third A is that acceptance point. Thereafter, the other two A's is action and accountability, right? Once you accept that time, there's something you have to do to take a change in whatever part of your life, then the next piece is taking action, and it's putting an action plan in place. Ultimately, then the final piece, the accountability, is literally just holding you accountable to the plan, right? Now, I find the last two, most people focus on the last two, right? It's the it's like, what step do I need to take to become a millionaire? What step do I need to do to lose 10, you know, pounds or kilos or whatever country? Where I'm going to have to think, as we're speaking today, we're speaking in kilos, you're speaking in pounds. There's probably a few things that we'll be looking at. But ultimately, with this whole focus, for me, it became the acceptance that what I'm doing is taking my energy away. I'm feeling depleted rather than energized. And I love using that filter. Does this food, does this person, does this environment deplete me or energize me? Right? That's a really good starting point. Now, ultimately, from there, for me, there was a few key things that I needed to, some hard truths that I needed to accept. And that was that as a guy that had studied to become a fitness and well-being expert, I thought that everything I'd learned was fact and true, and that was it. There was no outside the box kind of thinking, right? It was like, I know what I'm doing because I've studied to do this. Well, here's the thing, Caroline. I had to change the way I ate, the way I approached my relationships. I had to change everything in terms of the way I approached my business. And it wasn't from the textbook, because if I kept going down the textbook approach, I probably would have burnt myself out even more. For example, we often hear back in the ancient days, Hippocrates, one of the modern fathers of medicine, often recommended fasting as a way to help heal the body. Now, in the modern age right now, we've heard a lot of great, you know, biohacks around how beneficial fasting can be, but that wasn't taught to us in fitness school, right? That was outside the box, right? And so I'm just giving you that as an example to sometimes the answers we already have access to, but we've got to start to change the perception and how we look at things. And so for me, you know, moving out of that period, it was about looking at what's going to energize me. Are there principles that can help me energize my mind and my body? And what I started to realize was that we're so focused in this world on the why and the purpose piece, You know, what's your why? Like, it's the second question that's asked beyond, you know, beyond, hey, what's your name? Right. What's your why? It's become cool. And I like it because it's purpose driven and purpose drives productivity. But what I discovered in that period was it wasn't about the why. It was about the why will come later once I am completely in tune with who I am based on how healthy I am, how much I nurture my relationships. And then later on, once we're topped up, our glass is topped up full of energy and we're feeling good, then ultimately we can start to go down that path of discovering, you know, the optimization piece. Like, what am I going to use now to be able to live this ultimate life that we've been privileged to be given? So I started to approach things very differently. Number one, I took care of my health and well-being. I changed the way I ate. I started doing things like fasting and all these cool biohacks. I discovered the power of breath work. I discovered the importance of not just sleeping, but also how to get into a really deep sleep and optimizing my performance each day based on that. I discovered all these tools in terms of how to move, not just in terms of a linear motion in the gym, but with more flexibility, because how you do one thing becomes how you do everything, right? So I became more flexible in life based on all of a sudden how I approach my physical approach to health and well-being. And then ultimately, once I nurtured me, then I started looking at how can I nurture my relationships. And that's not just with, you know, the people around us. That's it's the relationship with self. It's the relationship with the family dynamic, whether that's partner, kids, greater family. And then there's tribe, you know, the relationship with the community and the people around us. And if we can nail those pieces, then ultimately we are filled up and we are giving back to the right types of people. To me, that was the first piece after the line in the sand. And what happened was I started to energize myself rather than deplete myself. And once I started to energize myself, I started becoming better at making decisions again. I started to become better in terms of being able to help others because, again, I was energized.
You know, I really wanted to lean into the energy piece because it's something that, like, I had to learn the hard way. And I know a lot of people listening probably are depleted or just subtracting versus like adding the energy. Or on the flip side, it might be they're just taking on so much and they have nothing left to give because they've just been adding. And I think it's just so important what you said about how we move through life, like how we do one thing is how we do everything. And just really being in tune with that of how when we are doing things on a day-to-day basis, it is what we're eating. It is who we're hanging out with. It is all of those factors, but really leaning into how does this food make me feel? How does this environment where I'm living makes me feel? Like all those factors play such a huge part in our everyday life. And I know from me personally of just my experience of when I was more in survival mode versus thriving. And I couldn't think of my purpose or the bigger things of my potential because I was in this state of burnout essentially. But I think a lot of people get in that space where they can't even think of what is the potential because they're just trying to survive. But I love how you were able to really, after you drew the line in the sand, you're like, okay, what's that next step? And really taking care of yourself and really thinking outside the box too, because textbooks can give you a little bit, but it's really what you do with that information and really going outside that box. And I love that you were able to do that and really leaning into that of, okay, what does this do for my energy? How is this showing up? Even with your sleep, like getting into a deeper sleep, not even just like sleeping, but like how we sleep, how all those things happen. And I love it, especially like just what you stand for too, and everything that you put out in this world about the human potential, because I think a lot of us haven't even tapped into that if we aren't taking care of the foundational pieces, which is our health, our relationships, and what we do on a day-to-day basis as well. So I'd love for you to kind of tap into a little bit of some of the roadblocks once you started really taking care of yourself and you started to see all these changes happening. Were there any like roadblocks that you experienced?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really good question. So the roadblocks for me was still being able to manage the day-to-day stress response, right? So, you know, if I look at, you know, we all dive into so many different phases of stress, right? And it depends on hierarchy sometimes in terms of who is putting the pressure on and how we respond to that. But, you know, naturally, you know, we go into one of four things when we're under pressure, right? So fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. fight. We're basically fighting the battle. Sometimes it's ourselves against ourselves. Sometimes we're pushing back against people and things. Flight, you know, mm-hmm. we just basically want to get out of there, right? And run as far as possible. Freeze, mm-hmm. we don't mm-hmm. do anything. And fawn, we become a people pleaser. We say yes to things we don't even feel in align with, mm-hmm. right? And so for mm-hmm. me, like one of the biggest navigations was how do I find, because the stress response kicks in naturally, right? You know, it's yeah. the same approach from when we used to be run down the street by a saber-toothed tiger back in the day, right? You know, cortisol yeah. up, adrenals start to kick in, bang, you know, we're just feeling yeah. absolutely at that tipping point. And as we know, you know, the logical part of the brain is not optimized in those moments because our energy is focused on getting us out of these situations that don't serve us. So it's one thing to have the awareness and to, you know, put the line in the sand and say, right, enough's enough and do all of these things. But then the day-to-day life still throws these curveballs at us, right? And so for mm-hmm. me, it was like, so how do I navigate stress, mm-hmm. not get rid of it, not avoid it? How do I mitigate it? How do I utilize it to my advantage? Yeah. And that became a major piece in what I stand for today. So one of the key tools with that was looking at how we start our day. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the average person, and there's tons of stats out there, but you know, one stat mm-hmm. I've always looked at is, you know, around 86% of people that start their day reach for their phone first thing yeah. in the morning. Mm-hmm. That little technology first thing in the morning before they do anything else. And what's really interesting, there was a study done in the UK that said 40 to 50% from memory, don't quote me exactly on the numbers, but around mm-hmm. that amount of the people that actually picked up the phone, were actually saying good morning to their phone or on their phone before they said good morning to their spouse who was lying next to them.
Oh, wow.
Right. Which is, it's mind-boggling. Because if you look at how, again, talking about stress, how we respond to that. So firstly, mm-hmm. we're addicted to reaching for our phone because of our dopamine pathways. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's talk really simply, happy hormones. There's four famous ones. There's more than that, but four famous ones, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. Mm-hmm. And dopamine is very much, you know, I guess it's produced based on anticipation and reward, mm-hmm. right? So if we anticipate something's on our phone and then there is something on our phone, the reward mechanism, yes. it kicks in, right? Mm-hmm. And so we reach for this thing because we get a natural high without even realizing it consciously. It just happens. Mm-hmm. So we reach for the phone and then we turn it off flight mode. Hopefully at least it's on flight mode at night for people, but you know, at least hopefully it's in another room, by the way, everyone watching and listening. But look, to start with, you know, you turn your phone on, there's an email that comes through or there's a Facebook message or whatever it is that comes through mm-hmm. and we get addicted to the scroll, but we at the same time, now our cortisol levels start to rise. You know, because yeah. now we have this fear of missing out or the fear mm-hmm. of not responding now. So mm-hmm. now, you know, we may have kids at home or we may have a partner at home or we may have, you know, someone that we're going to go see in the morning for business. And we're already in a reaction state because our stress response has kicked in. Mm-hmm. Our cortisol is high. Our logical part of the brain is not functioning at its optimal peak. And now what's happening is the adrenals are kicking in, like all of this piece is kicking in. You can see why people are getting burnt out from the day to day, just from how they start their day. Right. And so what's a tool to start your day or what's a tool to help you to optimize your performance without going into the stress state? It's to avoid the technology for the first 2 hours in the day. It's yeah. literally to park it in another room and it's to replace it with other things that can elevate your happy hormones. And so what I find is by simply making the bed, if you anticipate you're going to make your bed and mm-hmm. you make your bed, that's getting the same response mechanism mm-hmm. as reaching for the phone, right? Mm-hmm. And so now we've been able to hack the process. We've been able to change something. One little decision has changed, but the outcome's very, very different because mm-hmm. the bed doesn't give you the cortisol that you would have got from the phone. Now, at the same time, what if you could then do something that elevates some of the other happy hormones? So I have a little technique I use or a little morning routine called MBI. So M stands for move. And so we're just saying move for at least 20 to 30 minutes first thing in the morning, like light to moderate exercise, nothing insane. You can if you want, but something that just gets you moving a little bit, even if it's a nice walk with the dog, or I know you got a dog there. So, you know, going for a nice walk first thing in the morning, that elevates, you know, dopamine and endorphins. So we feel good, but at the same time, it's putting oxygen through the lungs, bringing more oxygen to the brain, greater ideas start to flow, I'm sure when you've been walking the dog, some of your greatest business ideas have flown and come to you as well, right? That's kind of what happens. So that's the move piece. And then the B piece, the breathe, is really focusing on the mindfulness piece, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, there's a study done on even, you know, mindfulness and based meditation, like 10 mm-hmm. minutes a day for 8 weeks has been shown to be able to shrink the amygdala, our stress control center in the brain. Mm-hmm. And so we're less reactive. The way I describe it here in Australia is we have like a lot of snakes, right? And my partner Chantel, we were on a train station a few months ago, and she went to take a step down, and under her foot was a snake on the station. And this is a brown snake, one of the world's deadliest snakes, right? And so what's your response mechanism to that? You're literally
I just did it.
Fight or flight, right, kicks in. And so when that happens, you know, naturally we get pretty, you know, reactive very, very quickly. You know, there's that whole what do we do from here moment. By doing some form of mindfulness-based practice for 8 weeks, 10 minutes a day, you know, in that same time, you might have looked down and realized it was a stick. And so rather than screaming and freaking out, in that same amount of time, you've been able to make a better decision because you're less jumpy, I call it, right? But you're basically less reactive. Mm-hmm. So again, so practicing something. So it might be awareness to the breath. Yeah. It might be awareness to something. I would love, you know, when people go for a walk and they look up and they all of a sudden they realize there's a building there that they've never seen, and they've lived in that house for 10 years. And in that neighborhood, there's a building they've never seen. That's, again, bringing awareness. So sometimes it could be as simple as some form of practice like that, or it might be just literally sitting in silence for 10 minutes. Whatever it is, finding some way to center and to ground can be super, super powerful and very potent from an energy standpoint. And then can you imagine if you're less reactive, let's say you're building a business or you're working with people, you're less reactive to those people as well in those same moments. Mm-hmm. So that's the essence of breathe. Now we could speak for hours about breath, but we'll just keep it simple for now. And then the final piece, I, is for intentions. So setting our intentions at the start of the day as if you've already done them with the end in mind. So it's future pacing. Mm-hmm. So for example, it might be 6 a.m. And I mean, it's like at the time we're recording this, it's like 7:30 in the morning here. So I might say it right now, it's 7 p.m. and I've contacted 5 people about my business and I feel great. Mm-hmm. Or it might be, it's 7 p.m. and today I spent 2 hours of quality time with my family and I feel great. Mm-hmm. Whatever your intentions are for the day, we're saying it as if we've already done it, which can basically change and shift the neurological pathways to make us believe that anything's possible, right? Mm-hmm. We do it long enough and all of a sudden it becomes a blueprint for us. So the concept for me is rather than reaching for the phone, we've just gone through a really simple pattern, MBI, move, breathe, intentions. That's very duplicatable, because if it works for you, you can then pass it on to your family and your friends. And there's a few other things that we can do in terms of, you know, you can do that barefoot outside. So you go for a walk outside now, and now you're grounding yourself at the same time, which is basically huge benefits in terms of, you know, the reduction of inflammation in the body and helping to reduce oxidative stress and all of these benefits. And we've, you know, you can add on to this and get a great result. But the concept, going back to your question, is so what was, you know, some of the things, what were some of the tools, what did you do, and how do you navigate this? Well, for me, it was mastering my morning routine, because that sets up not only your day to day, but you get into a routine of that. That's now your weeks, your months, and your years. And we have the ability to be able to completely change our state of being and the way we show up in our world and also the world of others, by simply making some of these profound, simple, but powerful changes as well. And then what happens is when we are under stress, we have more awareness, because we're in a calmer state. We're able to see how we can navigate those things better. And for me, once you can navigate that piece, if you can stay centered and out of your stress response, the world's a much happier place.
When you look at just managing your stress, because a lot of times that's where a lot of chaos happens, or decisions that are being made is because of that fight or flight response, or freezing and not knowing what to do, whatever it may be. But I love like the acronym you used as well, just like starting your morning routine, of just setting it up so powerfully, being able to move your body, like it's so good for the psyche as well. And just all that, like meditation too, of just how we are able to focus in on our breath, whatever that looks like. And I love the example you used of just like walking, and you might not see, notice something because you're just like, whether you're talking to somebody, if you're with somebody else, or if you're by yourself on your phone, but really being present in that moment and working on our breath. And you're right, we could talk hours about breath work. But then also the intentionality too of what we're doing on a day-to-day basis as well. And I think that's so important of how we reframe that and acting as if it's already happened. Like what you said, if it's at night, just like, oh, I spent 2 hours at 7:30 PM tonight with my family for 2 hours, but being able to put that out there into the universe, into the energy, whatever you believe in, but being able to understand that too. And I do think there's something to be said about having that morning routine, because every successful person I've spoken to, for the most part, they have like a particular morning routine that like sets them up for the day, or it's evening if they're more of a night owl, because I think it is being able to have a less stress, reducing stress in a way. But the example with the snake too, I like jumped when you said it. But however, like when you are able to regulate that and understand in any moment, whether it's we're talking with a potential employee or work anybody you're working with or a business partner, but to really kind of tie it in nicely. So thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. So through your journey, I love what you've been able to create with Chantel. The last few years, there's been so many things that you guys have worked on together, but with Reunite, I would love for you to talk more about what that is so people can know more about it. We're going to link it below, but I would love for you to share a little bit more.
Yeah, really appreciate it. So Reignite, look, I'm going to go back. So the time I was in the UK, we were literally at rock bottom. I remember us looking, we had a place that was looking over the water there. I mean, the water in the UK, it was like 2 degrees at that and was absolutely freezing all the time, right? But I remember we were able to see it from our balcony. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at it and we said, you know, if we can get through this, one day we're going to create a company that can give back and to support, you know, helping others to be able to do this. Because I remember that feeling of feeling at rock bottom, it's not a nice feeling. And it's like, man, if we're experiencing this, so many others must be experiencing this, but in silence. So many people must be experiencing, you know, because we're accustomed to only sharing the good. You know, often people see the glory, but not the story, right? Yes. Like, man, we've got to find a way to provide a vehicle to help people to optimize their lives. And so our company, Reignite Enterprises, was born on the back of that vision. And we started off as an event company, and we were training primarily entrepreneurs on how to get more success in life and business. But we, over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years, we've really evolved to becoming a brand that is all about helping to support the evolution of consciousness and the expansion of human potential. And so what we do is we provide programs, products, and experiences that help people to optimize their day every day. And so, for example, for the last 6 years up here where we live on the Sunshine Coast of Australia, we've been running these beautiful 4-day self-care retreats. And we've had people fly from all over the world, even though it's only 4 days, people have come from all over the world to come and experience these, because we provide the tools that help people to not only have a great experience, but also they can practically go and apply stuff back into their lives. And for me, you know, there's some amazing experiences out there, Caroline, as you know. But very few focus on how to really integrate what you learn into your real everyday life. I mean, I've been to so many personal development. I've spoken at so many personal development seminars over the years, and everyone's hyped, everyone's motivated, but then they get back to their old environment on Monday. And sometimes it's game over for them, because you actually feel really flat, because it's like, well, I've experienced all that over here. How do I now? I don't know how I'm going to do it. So for us, all of our experiences are about optimization and integration. It's about how do you take something that's practical? Maybe there's a tool that's been used for thousands of years that's all of a sudden now become a modern day biohack. How can we take that and actually use that? So that's where I'm very systems orientated, because there's only so many decisions we can make in a day before we burn ourselves out. And so again, with the morning routine, if you can put that into a system that's less than 5 steps, it's going to be easy to remember. It's going to be easier to form a habit. And as a result, then it's going to help us to you know, get better results. So for us, we run these beautiful experiences that are focused on that. We do everything from breath work and rebirthing breath work to ice baths and, you know, amazing movement-based protocols and things like that, and beautiful food. And the food is a big part of what we do. It's very very alkalizing, very bright, very colorful, as I'm sure you've seen.
Yes, and, they're beautiful. And we
do, yeah, and we do a lot around bringing in the world's leading experts in a variety of fields to work with us. So, for example, over a 4-day experience, we have up to 11 facilitators working, you know, as well. And that's something some people don't realize until they get there. It's like, oh my gosh, there's so many people supporting us here. And that's the goal for us. It's, you know, we can provide information on so many great things, but hey, what if we were able to help integrate some of the world's best information? And that's what we're all about. So that's the first part. We also have ultimately throughout our journey, one of the key things we did initially when we were at rock bottom was we looked at, okay, so if we're going to understand the concept that we spoke about, which was the accumulation versus elimination, if we're accumulating faster than we're eliminating, we need to help people to eliminate, which means we need to help people to cleanse, right? To find a way to detoxify their lives. And so we actually created a product system that helps people to do that as well. Mm-hmm. So we have, it's a program, it's a 21-day cleanse system that helps people to basically eliminate what's not serving them, nourish their bodies and thrive long-term. But rather than it being focused on one of these like 21-day hustles that you see out there, like programs, shake diets and all of that, this is actually about 1% focus at a time, you know, power of one, just getting a little bit better each day. And it's focused on, you know, 7 key habits that we have throughout our lives every single day and helping us to optimize those as well. So we have some products with that, which are all 100% organic. And the reason that we went down that path was that working with direct selling companies for many years and traveling the world, helping people to launch or companies to launch products, I saw all of the good and I saw all of the bad in that time in terms of what was put into products. And there's amazing marketing out there, but there are so many fillers in products. They're not third-party tested. You're just hoping that the marketing is literally representing everything that you see, but often it's not. So we wanted to create a brand that not only do we use 100% organic ingredients and no fillers, but we wanted to make sure that people are getting a result. They're functional. They help people to do something rather than just hyping them up about something and so they buy it. So that was the concept with all the products as well. And ultimately, you know, we've got some amazing plans in terms of further programs and things like that to help people. But the brand is established based on those pillars. And, you know, over the next little while, we're starting to roll everything you've heard about today internationally. We're excited to get over to Africa to be running retreats soon. We're excited to be able to take the cleanse system around the world. And I just feel like this is a starting point. A lot of people come to me and say, listen, James, I want you to help me to make more money, or I want you to help me to become a better leader. And hey, I can help people with that. But the first question is, when did you last detoxify your body? And most of the time, the answer is, I haven't done it. I don't even know what you're talking about. And so we wanted to build some tools to help people. And that's where Reignite kicks in.
I love it. And it just goes back to having a solid foundation to build upon, because you can't, if you don't have the foundation, it's going to fall through the cracks. And I love that it really starts with the body. You might look healthy on the outside, but internally you might not be healthy or have that mindset to be that great leader. If somebody's coming to you about being a great leader, making more money, all those things start with your health. I think if you don't have your health, you don't have anything, quite honestly. But I'm curious with how you started to really grow the business. What were maybe some of the things that you didn't realize were happening as you were growing it? So some of the maybe lessons that you've learned as it started to expand, as you were working with products and doing everything that you guys were doing, but how did that kind of unfold?
Yeah, I mean, I guess with any business, there's always, you know, major roadblocks that come up. And sometimes it's our own expectations that we're often fighting as we're growing, right? Mm-hmm. So I think one of the key things is we tried to do too many things all at once, right? So, you know, we were launching multiple types of retreats, multiple products, doing so many things all together. And at the same time, you know, like raising a family, we've got a couple of young kids at home and that we're with full time. So for us, if I had my time again, I would have approached it taking a little bit of it. Like, put it this way. I love how fast we've gone in terms of getting things out there. Yeah. But if I had my time again, I would have reduced the stress around it. I would have taken a little bit more time, right? And I think that's a really important lesson for any business owner. We have so much time. You know, if you look at Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, you know, it talks about the average person that masters their craft is doing at least 10,000 hours of practice. right? And so 10,000 hours is, if you were full-time in a business, is 5 years. If you were part-time, it could be 10 years. Yet we see on social media, people like going from $0 to $1 million in 6 months. And we think that's got to be us. But the reality is, I believe that so much of the stuff we see out there falls as quickly as we see it, because again, there's not the foundation in place. Companies scale way too quickly. They don't have the support mechanism in play. So for me, that was one of the roadblocks in terms of, it was actually a managing energy thing. So it's almost like, okay, I've now got to call on this wisdom I've been teaching and I've experienced before in terms of how to navigate burnout and explosive stuff going on all around us. And to me, it would have actually, like, the advice I would have taken from myself, again, if I was to do it again, would just be slow down one thing at a time, master each focus, launch it properly. And when I say launch it properly, I've always been fascinated by powerful product launches and, you know, and ride the launch, get one thing right. That's that's the starting point. The other piece is in terms of product development. We have a really cool, and I call it cool because I feel like it's easy to follow against a system, but we've got a 5-step quality assurance process to get our products from, you know, the formulation stage out to the marketplace. And most of the time, you know, you might have an idea, you find some manufacturers, you get some ingredients, they manufacture it, and then they put it out into the marketplace. We wanted to go a little bit further. We wanted to make sure that, you know, what was said on the ingredient, the supplier lists were in the product. Like, we wanted to do it at the next step. We wanted to make sure that we had the integrity of what we were offering. And so, you know, navigating that whole journey is a really fascinating process as well, because you're getting everything tested. You're getting everything, you know, all the safety principles all looked at before you take it to market. So the challenge with that is it takes a lot of time also, right? It's not like you can just have an idea today, find your friend that runs a manufacturing company tomorrow, and then get it out there. No, this takes a lot of time. So there's a bit of a theme throughout everything I've said, which is slow down, take a breath, and do things, you know, properly, but at the same time, just make sure as you're going through the journey, you're not suffocating yourself, both from an energy standpoint and also from a financial standpoint. You know, building any business takes a lot of resource. And the biggest challenge can be these great ideas, they cost so much more than you envisaged. And if you are self-funding, which we have done, if you're self-funding things, you've got to be very, very careful not to fall into the trap of the market's going to want this before you've tested the market. So what we've actually started to do with everything we bring to market is we pilot it first. So we have 100 people currently doing our cleanse program, and we're getting the feedback from the market in real time. We're able to use that data to then be able to make either things better or make things simpler, so we can launch it knowing that it's already proven. And to me, that's a really big step in business as well. So there's a few little factors there that I've mentioned, but yeah, take a breath, do it properly, make sure you've got your systems in place so that you've got the structure in place to succeed. Even from a sales process perspective, like, everything we do is in 5 steps. Because the way I look at this, if my 5-year-old son can't follow the sales system, it's too complicated. And the reason I say that is because if you had your number one sales guy in your company, you know, fall ill or not be able to work or leaves the company, you want to be able to, within a few days, be able to teach the principles, the system, to the next person coming in, and so on. So I'm a big piece about the cycle of duplication. Can this system be duplicated down to 5, 6, 7, 10 levels if I needed to, right? And if you look at the old, I mean, I don't know what you called it in the States, but over here in Australia, we call it like broken telephone, you know, when you're in a circle.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Same. You whisper something to someone and they whisper it to the next person. And by the time it comes back, it's completely different. Right. So that's how I see business. So, you know, you teach someone the system, they teach someone, then ultimately, you know, the people that are doing a lot of the work have no idea because it was too complicated to begin. So it's all about systems and processes. Business is not emotional. Our passion is emotion. Our connection with what we do is emotion, but business is very linear. Right. But in terms of the process. So we've got to separate the emotional producer with the permanent protocol production, or the permanent protocol system. That's that's how I like to approach from a business standpoint.
I love the differentiation between the, like, business is not emotional. You have to keep it separate. because you can be passionate about something, but it's really about the business and knowing what works. And I love that you really do the market research, because that is what I believe too makes something successful. And I know right now you're in the process of all the 21 day cleanses that have been going out, and like just seeing all the feedback, seeing it all over your feed as well. What has that been like for you and Chantal to see just the results and getting the feedback you've been getting from all the people that are trying the 21 day cleanse?
Yeah, there was a girl last night, a lady that had her daughter doing it with her. And so there's a picture of her in the kitchen and they're making some of the meals. So this system, it has like 182 page recipe guide, right? And it's inspiration. We're not saying you have to go and eat 3 meals a day from here, but we're saying just try one meal a day, right? Yeah. And what was really powerful is her post was basically like, this system's amazing. Not only am I feeling phenomenal after a week, but also my daughter is eating more fruit and vegetables because of it. And like, I literally read that and I broke down. Like, I just started literally tears, because I was like, you know, that's when you know, I think from a connection standpoint, we know that this has come from a lot of pain from us. Like, we had to go through a lot to get to the point where, you know, we had the wisdom from our own experience to be able to share it with the world, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, our goal has been to just make a really positive impact. It's never been like, right, we've got to sell 1,000 of these to make X amount of money. We've done it really from a space of love, right? Which is like, we're really passionate about this. It's helped us. Let's go change the world. Let's go help some people. Yeah. And so to see that feedback has been, it's just been very like, very emotional, very positively emotional for us. And I feel, you know, again, the power of the share, you know, people are naturally now telling their friends and saying, hey, listen, I want to do this. And we're getting some really, really cool results. And our goal is not, this is not positioned as a weight loss program, but we're having people feedback in their first few weeks saying, hey, I've dropped, you know, in pounds, it'd be like, you know, 12, 15 pounds of just, you know, shedding toxic load. You know, that's kind of what it is. You know, it's just like getting rid of shit that doesn't serve us, right? And that's what people are really, are really passionate about right now. And I think if we look at the world that we're in and the awareness that we all have towards better health and well-being, it's not that we don't know that we've got to be healthier. It's more like we just don't know the first step sometimes. Yes. Right. And so I feel like that's what this has been doing for people. So yeah, to answer your question, very emotional, and it's been great to see it. Been exciting.
I'm excited for you guys, just watching the feed go with everything that you guys have been doing, but all the love, passion, and intentionality as well to the product, to what you've been creating for years. It's not something that's happened overnight. The 0 to 1 million in 6 months doesn't always happen. If it does, how is the sustainability of that? But I love that you're making something that's duplicatable, of just like the processes that you put in place and the systems. And I think that's a really important aspect of entrepreneurship overall, is just having systems in place so you can be more present. You can do things and allow things to flow a little bit better. But what's maybe your top one or two tips that you could give entrepreneurs?
I think it's really, it's the self-care conversation. It's take care of yourself. You know, for us to perform at our peak professionally, we have to perform at our peak personally as well. And so, you know, don't be scared to invest in you. In fact, you investing in you is going to be the leverage to give you faster results. So if you do want faster results, spend less time on your business and more time on yourself. That is sometimes easier said than done, because sometimes business is in seasons where it's like, right, I've just got to run. But, you know, it doesn't take a lot of time to get a little bit of a morning routine going. And I know sometimes we hear like, yeah, but I've got family and I've got kids and I've got this, and how do I do it? And sometimes it's getting up 15 minutes earlier and going to bed 30 minutes earlier as well. You know what I mean? So it's the morning piece, it can change the game, but it's what you do the night before that can actually set you up for that. And and so for me, yeah, definitely take care of you, and don't be scared to invest wholeheartedly in you. It's not selfish. It's absolutely necessary for your future success. The other thing I would say is build a team around you. You know, just like an athlete, like I remember when we were working with these elite athletes, you know, they would have their nutritionists, they would have their trainers, they would have their mind coaches. And whilst everyone in that space that I've just mentioned could all do those different jobs, ultimately, you know, swap jobs with each other because they were so around it all the time, you want specialists that can do things that you don't want to be doing. And so even if that's, you know, your marketing, if that's, you know, your sales process, or it might just be literally having a mentor to make sure that you're on and in sync mentally as you're going through this journey, it's so important. And I guess if I had my time again, also, I probably would have involved more people earlier. Because we, when it's our own vehicle, we're like, we want to hold on to it, right?
Yeah.
But that suffocation, I used that word a few times today, suffocation, that's mm-hmm. what happens when you hold on to things for too long. And yeah. And sometimes it's a matter of saying, you know what, here's the idea. I'm the ideas person. I've got a particular skill in X. So for me, that is definitely the sales process mm-hmm. and the operations. But what if I could then spend my time speaking about it more, jumping back on stage and having someone else operate? Great. So now that's freed me up to be able to do what I love more. So that's the approach I like to take in business.
Those are amazing. So thank you for sharing those. I've been enjoying this conversation so much. I feel like so many elements of what is important in business, but success and just human potential. But we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Absolutely. Let's fire them up.
Okay. The first question is, who is your hero?
Yeah. So my hero is 100% my family. I've got three, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, please.
So Chantel, my other half, the reason where we are today is because she has never quit on the same day that I have. Right. Mm. And so if I look at sometimes it's felt like it's us versus the world, right? It's kind of, you know, there's been times where, you know, when you're in a place where it's like, everything feels tough. You know, you sometimes you think externally, like, who could help me out of this? But we've realized throughout this journey, the only people that are getting us out of this is us. Right. And yeah. So Chantel has been the rock. She's been the visionary. She's been really, you know, everything to us. And the other two people are my two kids. My son has already at 5 years old begun his first business. And I'm watching him watch me and then get the inspiration and then to do it. And I'm so inspired by his passion and his joy from doing something that he loves. And that inspires me. That took me most of my adult life to learn, right? And he's got it. So that really inspires me. Mm-hmm. And then my little daughter as well, she, you know, being only 1 year old at the moment, but she reminds me to stay grounded. She reminds me to stay completely centered. And so we could go for all the external heroes, but I've got them right under my nose right now. And it's amazing.
I love that. I love just each individual brings something so different to you, but that whole family dynamic as well. So beautiful. So what motivates you to work smarter?
Oh, time with them, time with the family. Yeah, without a doubt. So I was always like my father worked massive long hours when I was a kid and he helped us to get to a good position as a family. And I told that story and then I found myself doing exactly the same thing, right? Yeah. So what makes me want to work smarter is so that I can spend more time and more quality with the people that I love.
Absolutely. And so if you were a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
Yeah, this one I've been thinking about for, you know what, I was asked this the other week and I after the interview, I was like, I could do so many things with superpowers. What could I do, right? I feel my biggest superpower, the one superpower I would love right now is to go back in time and to tell the younger version of myself that it's going to be okay. Right. Because I stressed over stuff that I didn't need to stress about. And I feel like just being able to have that conversation would change not only my world, but a lot of the world around me as well.
Ooh, that's a really good one. I like that. So if you could share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
So this one, 100% with my father. He is a major inspiration. In fact, I watched him speak when I was a kid for the first time and I was like, I'm going to do that one day. So he was definitely that person as well. Also been very inspired by people over the years in, you know, but different capacities, but from an athlete perspective, I've always been fascinated by, there's a lady here, Deidre Anderson, and she was the mind coach for some of the Australian Olympic athletes. And what I've always loved about her is I know her personally, but I just find she's got these little 1% wisdoms all the time, right? And so that is a big piece for me, being able to call on that. And I kind of put her still in that mind coach for me, you know, perspective as well. And then look, I'm always fascinated by, like, you know, those that have pushed boundaries, like, and done things, you know, before anyone else, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, I look back and I think of some of the bands that came out in the, you know, if you look at like the Beatles back in the, you know, the 60s and things like that, and the concept of being able, because what fascinates me, so if I could put them as one, right, the concept with that was, got back to the 10,000 hour piece. Mm. They practiced in Berlin for 10,000 hours before they even became, you know, seen by the world. And everyone thought they were this overnight success, but I'd be fascinated just to find out what gave them the inspiration to keep doing it, you know, even though, you know, they hadn't got really anywhere for you know, 10,000 hours, right? So that's absolutely fascinating as well. And then the other one, I mean, I'm a big one not to necessarily always go with the, you know, all the famous people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just the people that are around us as well. So I'd probably dedicate that last one to, you know, all of those people that have been on the journey with me along the way and have just said something that I've picked up, and I'd like them to give me one more thing as well, you know. So I'm going to just sort of say that that person is probably quite a few people, but all of that 1% wisdom as well. Mm.
That'd be a very dynamic table. I can believe that. Sounds like a good one to be at. What is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Most daring thing I've ever done. When I was 22, I met a few people on LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn had just started. It might have been a different platform, but it was basically right at the beginning of social media. We connected with a few people. They were really interested in a business that I had in Australia, and I flew to South Africa on my own, not knowing what to expect, trusting these people to stay in their homes. And we ended up having the most phenomenal time. We built some really big business. And to me, I still think I was just absolutely crazy. Like, literally imagine meeting someone on the internet now, a stranger that you don't know, and going and staying at their house in Africa, right? That was, for me, pretty awesome.
It sounds like it. It was definitely meant to be, but definitely daring.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what is the phone app that you use the most?
Well, the phone app that I use the most is probably phone app. Maybe Signal. Yeah, probably use Signal the most.
And what's Signal?
So Signal's like WhatsApp. So it's just another version, right? So yeah, probably use that the most.
I haven't heard of it, so I was very curious.
yeah. No, look, it functions very, very similar, but it's just less known. But it's, it's been good.
Well, now it will be known. What is the last book that you read or listened to?
A few. I've actually got a few out at the moment. Mm-hmm. So, look, I've revisited recently As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. Mm. So that's a pretty powerful one. Really love that one. And then in terms of the other, I'm just trying to think. There's a couple more that I have got here. I can't even see them right now. But I think that the other one was probably, let me just see. I can't even see it right now. Yeah, The Law of Success. There you go. Mm. Yeah. So and that's powerful because it's, you know, Napoleon Hill's principles, right? So very, very powerful in terms of being able to get the foundation of what it takes to become successful in all facets of life.
I read that one not too long ago, but it's a good one.
Yeah, no, fantastic. I'm a big fan when it comes to books. I'm a big fan of alternating between not only the mindset and the personal development sort of stuff, but also, you know, well-being hacks and the latest sort of things in terms of optimizing performance. So, you know, it varies. And that's why, you know, sometimes when people say, what am I reading? I'm like, I've got a few things out at the moment.
Well, you practice what you preach. Absolutely. What is your favorite family recipe, whether it's one you make together or it's a traditional one?
Oh, favorite family recipe. Probably satay, but it's like a plant-based version. Mm-hmm. So we do like satay with a bit of tempeh and all of the leftover vegetables and chuck it on a bit of quinoa, and it's pretty good. So that's probably the one thing that I do the most in terms of making something that's just super, super yummy and fills us up.
That sounds delicious. Getting hungry now. So if you had to describe yourself as an animal personality type, what animal would you be?
Oh, probably a lion, just in terms of absolutely rocking and rolling. When I see an idea and a goal, I just run, and I run fast at it. That's probably a strength and a weakness. But in terms of that, I would say so.
That's good. I could see it. And what is your favorite way to spend a day off? So if you aren't working and you just have time for yourself and the family.
Yeah. Good music, hanging out at the beach, probably live music, all of us getting a guitar and just literally sitting there and just chilling out. We have a beach really, really close to us. And so, you know, we try to do that quite regularly. So yeah, it's something that it definitely calms the mind. As long as I've got water near me, I'm pretty good.
Definitely sounds like a perfect day. And so what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
An outsider wouldn't know about the industry. So I think ultimately there's a few industries combined here. So the first thing is, you know, I feel like we're in this life enhancement space, which is a little bit of everything. And I think what a lot of outsiders wouldn't know is a little bit of what I touched on before, which is that for you to get success in your bank account also requires you to take care of yourself. And so a lot of what we focus on is actually helping. We have a lot of entrepreneurs come to our retreats, and we actually focus on helping those people to be able to perform better, but with well-being and self-care strategies. So I feel like generally success in the bank account comes down to self-care.
I couldn't agree more. But James, where can people find you, your products? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah, absolutely. So to start off with, for Reignite and everything we do from a brand perspective, you can go to reignitelife.com. And you'll see the combination of our programs and our products and experiences there. At the same time, our Instagram and our Facebook handle is literally Reignite. So you can find us on those. And if you're interested in connecting direct in terms of everything I do, jamesyates.me. That's jamesyates.me. And you'll see that, you know, I also, I'm available to speak and to help people to really perform at a corporate level as well as individually. So yeah, if that helps anyone, then it'll be a pleasure to hear from you.
Awesome. And before I let you go, what is one thing that you think is important for people to know before we end this interview that you want to just share with the world at this point?
I just feel like you are, and I'm saying you as in our listeners, you are capable of more than you imagine and more than you can think about right now. It's amazing when you look at potential. There's not too many people that get to the end of their lives and say, hey, I hit my potential, because potential is ever evolving. It's ever growing. And I think it's really important to give yourself a huge amount of credit to have got to the point that where you are right now. There are thousands, if not millions of people around the world right now that would just love to be where you are right now. So please don't hold back and not share your message with the world. Start sharing it. You're going to inspire people. You're going to inspire yourself, and it's going to give you the leverage to be able to continue to evolve and ultimately expand on that potential, which can make a big, big difference in the world. And even if you think you're not really here to change the world, what happens is when you start to do things that push boundaries for you, it shows people that anything is possible. So never give up and go for your dreams.
Oh. So well said. Thank you so much, James, for coming on today, sharing your wisdom, your energy, your light. You were such a beautiful soul, and I'm so honored to be friends with you as well. But thank you so much again for coming on and just sharing everything today.
Oh, Caroline, it's such a pleasure. And I just want to say a massive shout out to you. Everything you're doing, your interviews have been phenomenal. I've got a lot of inspiration from them already, and I really appreciate everything you stand for, and really looking forward to doing some really cool things together in the future as well.
Likewise. And thank you again. I appreciate that. Definitely received that. So make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from James today? I'm sure he would love to see that comment as well. And we will see you on the next video.